Rabbi Sai, good morning. I was a little concerned when I first heard about the start of the day, the Torah way. I had a friend in Yeshiva who started the day, the Torah way. He told me he went to a 1.5 hour Ian Shir every day before Shacharis, and this seemed very out of keeping with what I knew of his character. And I quizzed him a little about it, and he said, yes, it's true. He gets up at 11:45, 12 o'clock he goes to the Shir in Yeshiva, 1.5 hours later it's finished, lovely Ian Shir. Goes back to his room and doesn't Shacharis. So it was true. He went to 1.5 hour Ian Shir before Shacharis, and he started the day of the Torah way. So I didn't know what to expect when I heard about the day of the Torah way, but this seems to be a far more wholesome experience. So, kalakabot to the organizer. Subject matter this morning is Moshe and the Rock. Difficult to do justice to this subject matter. It's a vast subject matter. We're going to just simply be able to scratch the surface. We are going to attempt to discover if the Avera which Moshe did was big, small, or maybe it didn't exist. Maybe there was no Avera whatsoever. If you have any questions at any stage, please speak to me. In fact, bearing in mind the subject matter, please hit me. Right, so a good starting point for understanding what's going on here is to look in the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel makes it very easy. In fact, an even better starting point would be to look into the Pesukim, but it's not very fashionable in this day and age. We'll still do it though, we'll look at the Pesukim. But the Abarbanel is going to give 10 reasons, or 10 explanations of what the Avera was, and he, interestingly enough, rejects all of them and gives his own. Obviously there's no way in which we're going to be able to discuss all 10 opinions, bearing in mind the time constraints of this half an hour slot, so that's why we're going to limit it to a mere 9. Schedule is as follows. We're going to read the parasha, like I said, the key psukim. We're going to look at some key points. We're then going to look at 9 of the 10 opinions and see where they're rejected. We're then going to try and go back and rescue reason number 7, even though the Abarbanel actually rejected that. We'll then be free to go. Before we start, I'd just like to I'd like you to think about one question, which we'll try and answer at the end. We say Shacharis, Shabbos morning, we say yes, Moshe matnas felko, Moshe should rejoice in the gift of his inheritance, whatever that means. Trying to do a very sort of literal translation. Ki ebed ne'eman krosolei, because you called him a faithful servant. A faithful servant. Moshe was an ebed ne'eman. Moshe was a very good servant. But if we look at this week's Sedra, it seems clear, according to Mr. Farshan, there was some sort of a view that he did. There was something which he did and which went at the wrong. So to call him a very good servant, the finest servant, the best servant, that makes sense. The Nebuchadnezzar one is somebody you can rely upon, someone who's reliable. Reliable means you never get it wrong. How can we go about calling Moshe Rabbeinu an Nebuchadnezzar? Because he got it wrong once. And in a sense, once you get it wrong, you can't be Nebuchadnezzar anymore. You can be good, you can be the best, but Nebuchadnezzar is a bit of a kasha. So put that on the side for the moment, and we will try and find out what the chet was, if there was one at all. Let's look at the psukim extremely briefly. Miriam passed away, there was no water to drink anymore, people came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the usual story, you know, why did you bring us here? Wouldn't it have been better if we died in Egypt, etc.? Moshe and Aaron didn't know what to do, they came to the El Moed, sort of escaping from the people, V'yeiroku et Hashem aleihem, Hashem appeared to them. V'yidav Hashem Moshe leimor, Hashem spoke to Moshe leimor, very interesting, says leimor, as if Moshe was meant to say something over here. Kachas amateh, Moshe was told to take the stick, we saw kachas amateh, v'hakeles eidov, assemble everyone, atavar nechicho, v'dibaratim alasela, speak to the rock, there's a rock over there they were meant to speak to, le'inehem, in front of them, v'nasa meimov, it will produce water, v'tseisa, lohem, my minasela, and you will produce water from the rock, v'shkisa, se'edov es v'irom, you will give the people and the animals to drink. V'yikach Moshe et ha'matah mefnei Hashem, Moshe took the matah, remember he was told to take the matah, he took the matah, ke'asher tivohu, like he was told, v'yakidu Moshe v'aron et ha'kol, v'nei ha'sela, they got everyone there to the rock, v'yemel ha'hem shimon amur, and listen you rebellious individuals, ha'min ha'sela ha'zeh nisi lachem ma'im, are we going to be able to get water for you from this rock? V'yoro Moshe, v'yoro Moshe raised his hand, v'yakit ha'sela, he hit the rock, v'matehu, pa'amoyim, he hit it twice, v'yitzumayim rabim, a great amount of water came out, v'tesh ta'eda u'be'irom, and the people and the animals drank. Seems like a good result, but it wasn't, because the Yomashem or Moshe Bel Aaron, Ya'an Lohem Antim B, because you did something terrible here, because you didn't believe in me, Lahanti Shein Elim Neshol, to make a good Shem here, Lachain, Losav Viyu Etakola there. Very interesting. Everybody knows that the reason why Moshe didn't come to Eretz Yisrael is because he did some sort of Avera over here. Doesn't say you're not going to come to Eretz Yisrael, it says Losav Viyu, you will not bring Etakola there, Le Eretz Yisrael Etak Lehem. Hemoi Meriva, Osmei Riva, Sherov Ibn Yisrael of Hashem, Vayikodesh Bo. Fine, that's the Pasha. What on earth was the Avera? So the Abarbanel brings 10 explanations, and as we said, he rejects them all. What's explanation number one? Explanation one, number one is the traditional one, which everybody grew up knowing, depending, well, not everybody, but many people do. Fine. What's explanation number one? Moshe was supposed to speak to the rock. What did he actually do? He hit it. That's what makes people stop, you know, kindergarten. It's always better to speak to things, speak to people, than to hit them. Rashi says a little more longish than that. Rashi says, had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the rock, there would have been a kalva chomer which everyone would have been able to make. Klal Yisrael, Alam Donim, Shivish, they would have said the following. They would have said, oh, a rock which cannot hear, listen to the Dvar Hashem. Malachas come and become a we who are capable of hearing have to listen to the Dvar Hashem. Once Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't hitting the rock anymore, wasn't speaking to the rock, Klal Yisrael were incapable of making that Kal Vachomer. The best they could do would be to say, a rock which can't feel obeys when it gets hit, so we you can feel should obey when we get hit. So that's a Kal Vachomer we would probably not think about too much, we don't want to think about too much, and probably don't really want to make. Fine. That was the chet according to Rashi. The Ramban offered kasha on that, and that is the reason, the Ramban's kasha is the reason why the Abravanel rejects Rashi's explanation. What's the Ramban's kasha? The Ramban says, oh, like we pointed out, Moshe Rabbeinu was specifically told, kachet amateh, take the matter with you. How can it be that if he was told kachet amateh, the Aveira was that he hit the rock? Clearly he was told kachet amateh, and presumably he was meant to hit the rock. So that's a very nice explanation, Rashi, but, you know, he was told to take the stick, so I cannot speak like you're saying, Rashi. Explanation number one, refutation number one. Good. What's the second explanation? The second explanation brings Rishon Chazal, our sages of blessed memory, and he says as follows. You know what the Aveira was over here? Moshe Rabbeinu was in Zalzel in the cupboard of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was thirsty, they came to him for, they wanted a drink. What did he say to them? He didn't say, here, have a drink. Have a nice water on the rocks. What did he say? He said as follows. He said, Shimon HaMayim, listen, you rebellious individuals. That's the way you speak to Klal Yisrael? Fine, they were a little impatient, whatever. That's not the way you speak to Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. Good answer, it seems. Says the Abana, yes, it's a very good answer, but it's incorrect. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu has given far more scathing and severe condemnation of Klal Yisrael at other places in the Torah. He says, "Mamrim hayisim im Hashem yom dati etchem." He says in Devarim, not just you're being rebellious now; you always were rebellious, and you're still rebellious. You're inherently rebellious from the very first moment I saw you. You've been rebellious. That's far more severe condemnation. Yet that wasn't considered an avera. Must be the case that it wasn't so terrible for him to be mazalzel in the cover of Klal Yisrael when it was appropriate. That cannot be the avera over here. That was answer number two, and refutation number two. Answer number three is given by the Rambam as follows. Not so much that he wasn't zalzel in the covered of Klal Yisrael, but more that he was angry. Moshe Rabbeinu, clearly there's an undertone here that Moshe Rabbeinu was angry with Klal Yisrael. The Odin HaNaviim, as the Abavanel calls Moshe Rabbeinu, should not have displayed anger at all. This had no place in the behavior or the thought process, the decision making process of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was he doing being angry? Worse than that, Klal Yisrael looked at Moshe Rabbeinu as the conduit, direct link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would have thought that if Moshe Rabbeinu was angry, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was probably angry with them as well. This was not the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not particularly angry, according to this answer, with Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them the wrong idea. He was sending out the wrong message. That sounds like a good answer. What could possibly be wrong with that? Says the above and the other. The problem with that is that actually we're told what the Aveira was. It was Ya'an Lehe Mantimbi. That's what we say over here, because you didn't believe in me. In Pinchas it says, Maris MP, you disobeyed, you were rebellious with regard to what I said. In Hazinu it says, Anavaloshna Ma'al Tembi. Clearly, what Moshe Rabbeinu did over here was he disobeyed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some sense, or he didn't have a sufficient belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't say it was anger. It doesn't make sense to say it was anger. Three good answers, three good refutations. Fine. What is answer number four? Answer number four is as follows. You will recall that Moshe Rabbeinu turned round to Klal Yisrael and speaking about himself and Aaron, he said, you guys want water? Well, he said, Min ha-sela hazeh, listen very carefully, I know what you guys are thinking, Min ha-sela hazeh, noti lechem moyim. Moshe Rabbeinu said the following lesson, from this rock, we will get water for you. We will get water for you from this rock. And the chet, according to this fourth answer, which the Ramban brings to Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu, who do you think you are, saying you will produce water from a rock? You are a mere individual. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's kevei, what happens in the Teva. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu who can interfere with that and bring about Nisim, if that's what's meant to happen. How can you suggest that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, and you, Aaron HaKohen, are going to produce water from a rock? Min ha-sela hazeh noti lechem moyim. Miraculous things are in the realm of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not in the realm of humans. Says the Abamanel, I cannot understand this answer. They were never saying, we will produce water for you from this rock. There's a very important letter which preceded that phrase. What? The hey ha-sha'ilah, interrogative hey. Hamin ha-sela hazeh nekzechem moyim. They were not saying, we will get water from you from this rock. We can do this. And they were saying, can we get water from you from this rock? Are we able to do this? We're unable to do it. They were good for saying, we cannot do this. The Abravanel does not understand this answer at all. They were good for saying, we are incapable of doing this miracle. So that can't be the Avera, says the Abravanel. Okay. That was the fourth answer and the fourth reputation. What's the fifth answer? Fifth answer, don't worry, only five to go. Remember, we're leaving out one of them. So, fifth answer is as follows. You know what the chet was? says the fifth answer, it was that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock twice. Once would have been okay, and this of course would have dealt with the Ramban's kasha. Why was he told to take the stick? He was told to take the stick because he was meant to hit it, but he was only meant to hit it once. Moshe Rabbeinu, by hitting it a second time, you know, hit it the first time, a few drops came out. By hitting it a second time, what did that display? That displayed a certain lack of emunah, a certain lack of bitachon. I've done my ishtadlus, doesn't seem to be working out yet. I'm going to do some more ishtadlus. Moshe Rabbeinu should not really have done that second strike, that second smiting. People don't do smitings anymore, something they did, you know, some time ago. But he smote the rock a second time, and that was the avera. He did it a second time. There was a chesaron here, as it were, that he felt he needed to do it a second time. Says the Abarbanel, very nice, but that too cannot be the answer. Why? Because there are two people who are punished here for their conduct, Moshe and Aaron. Aaron didn't do any hitting at all. Moshe hit the rock twice, but he was told to speak to it. Aaron did nothing at all in terms of hitting the rock. There must be a common denominator here. Since Aaron and Moshe were both given the same punishment, that they were not going to accompany Klal Yisrael in to Eretz Yisrael, it must be the case that what they did over here, the chet they were being punished for, was equal to both of them, was something which they both did. Aaron didn't do any hitting, it was only Moshe did the hitting. It must be the case that it wasn't hitting, it cannot have been anything which only Moshe did, which was a chet. It must be something which they each did. Some of the previous answers address this point better. They both got angry. Oh, you could say it was both of them got angry. They were both mazalzel. Oh, you can say it was both of them who were mazalzel. But to say that Moshe hit the rock twice, well, it was only Moshe. We know that they were both punished. It must be that this cannot be the punishment. It must be that this cannot be the Abeyu. Oh, we've got to move on. Answer number six. So, if you look a few psukim further ahead, you'll see that there was a very nice song which Klal Yisrael broke into. As a result, it would appear, of this particular incident with the rock. They were very joyous about the fact that they had water to drink, as people would be in that desert. And they said, Ali Be'er, Enulo, Be'er Chafaru Asorim. There was this, come up there, answer it. There was a bear which was dug by the noble ones. They were making reference to the fact that this well had been dug by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu was as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu had proved his credentials as somebody who was able to have a good sing song. We know this because if we look back in the Shira Fayom, that was started by Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the person who started it. He was the instigator. Moshe Rabbeinu, when there was a reason to celebrate, he was quite capable, perfectly capable of breaking into song and leading Klal Yisrael. What do we see later on? It's not Oz Yashir Moshe, it's Oz Yashir Bnei Yisrael. It's Bnei Yisrael who broke into song. Moshe Rabbeinu is criticized for not having been the person who instigated the singing later on. That's the chet, according to the sixth answer. What does the Abarbanel say about all this? Says the Abarbanel, no. This song is a song which they sang a while later, after they got to a place called Be'era, and it celebrated the fact that all the time from this particular incident, which happened in Midbar Sin in Kodesh, stop after stop after stop, they had this well with them, this rock which Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to and hit, and that produced water for them, and they sang this song only then. So okay, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't participate, maybe he didn't instigate, but you cannot say that the chet clearly happened here in this parasha, not having participated in something which happens in a few a few months time or a few years time in the cycle, in the story, cannot have been the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the chet happened here. Clearly the chet happened b'shas Moshe was getting this rock, this new bear up and running. It cannot be the case that the chet was not having participated in the song which happened later on. That's answer 6. Not participating in the song has been rejected as an answer. Says the Abba Meir, oh, there's another answer which brings shame Anoshim Achirim, other people, who say as follows. Do you know what the chet was? The chet was as follows. And Rashi speaks about this as well. At the beginning, there were very specific instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't say, find a rock and speak to it. He says, V'dibaratem El Ha-Sela. There was a certain rock there, which we will imaginatively call Rock A. Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to deal with Rock A, and people were complaining, and this was happening, and that was happening, and that was happening. They were scattering around, and they found themselves next to a rock which we'll call Rock B, for imaginative reasons again. Klal Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "No, we're thirsty. We want a drink." What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to them? He said, "Amin hasela hazeh neti lekemoyim." Hang on, I've been given specific instructions over here, explains Rashi, and this is what the Abba Meir is also talking about. I was told to take water from Rock A. There's a certain way of doing things over here. It's Rock A where I can do the miracle. I can't do the miracle at Rock B. Now, this got a lot of people thinking. If you look in the Medrash, people thought that Moshe, maybe this was not a niece from a Kodesh Baruch Hu at all, maybe this was some sort of kisser on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing over here was he knew there was a certain rock, Rock A, which was, you know, had something about it. It was like the hat with a concealed apartment, concealed section where the rabbit hides. That was a special rock where you can get water out of. And that was the rock which Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do his trick on. But he couldn't do it on Rock B. He was refusing to do it on Rock B. That made people think, Moshe Rabbeinu may not be the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he is the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incapable, Kaviyachal, of doing the miracle of Rock B. This caused people a great amount of consternation. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He didn't consider doing anything. He didn't consider departing from the script. He said, I'm going to be a stickler for the rules. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Rock A is where I'm meant to perform the miracle. It's Rock A where I'm meant to do my speaking, my hitting, whatever. I'm going to make sure it's Rock A. The criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he should not have been such a stickler for the rules. He should have been happy. He should have been happy on this particular occasion to bend the rules a bit and accommodate Klal Yisrael. Did he do that? No. And that's the criticism of him, according to this answer. So the Rav, no, that cannot be. Why not? Because the criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly Marisimpi. You disobeyed me. Being a stickler for the rules cannot be described as disobeying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to obey the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't say Marisimpi about somebody who obeys the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was reason number 7. Reason number 8 we are going to skip. It's just a mixture of other reasons. Reason number 9 is as follows. There was a famous competition, as it were, in Tanakh. Eliyahu versus the Nevi'i Sheker on Har HaKarmel. We invoked this several times a year. Misha Amal Eliyahu Har HaKarmel. So there were the Nevi'i Sheker who had their korbanos. They wanted a heavenly fire to come down and spontaneously combust their korbanos. Eliyahu was trying to do the same with his korbanos. You shouldn't try this at home, by the way. And, Eliyahu, the Nevi'i Sheker were trying to get this miracle to happen, and of course nothing happened. Eliyahu Anovi poured water over his korbanos, over the animals, ejected, clicked his fingers as it were, he spoke directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, please do this nace, and this heavenly fire came down, and it was matir all the korbanos. Fascinating. What did Eliyahu do? Eliyahu was spontaneous. He grabbed the bull by the horn. He came up with a spontaneous idea. Moshe Rabbeinu over here was dilly-dallying. Klal Yisrael to get a water, he didn't know what to do, he went to the Ohel Moed, he waited for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to him. It was all taking too long. You've got to show leadership qualities to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the criticism over here in answer number 9. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do that, and that is the criticism, that is the set. So dear Babanel, very good answer, but that cannot be the answer over here. Why not? Because there is a precedent for this. There was another incident with the rock back in Chorei. Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly the same thing. Klal Yisrael wanted water. Moshe Rabbeinu waited to hear what to do from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to hit the rock. If Moshe Rabbeinu was not criticized over there for dilly dallying, for taking his time, obviously it's not a chet to take the time. So over here it was totally within his rights to wait to hear an instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 30 people and rocks are a very different situation to false prophets and animals. You've got to judge each case on its merits, and he knew that the way you deal with this procedure, with this sort of circumstance, is you wait to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That's what he did then, that worked, that wasn't a chet. That's what he did now, that too cannot have been a chet, says the Abravanel. Oh, answer number 10 is a fascinating answer. The answer up to now have shown a, you know, sort of minor chatoam on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is very interesting. It says that answer number 10 says there was no chet whatsoever. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong? Nothing. It's just that he was part of the Klal. He was one of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael did something wrong over here. What that was, we can discuss. What was it that what was the issue with Moshe Rabbeinu? Klal Yisrael did something wrong, and if you're part of the Klal, you get wrapped up together with them. We see a precedent for this with Ochron. Ochron took booty from the town of Ai. It says also to Yeshua that Umalu B'nai Yisrael, the whole of B'nai Yisrael, described as having done the Ila, having taken the booty from Ai, even though it was in fact one individual Ochron. Similarly, with Pashas Amon, we find that by Heber Yemeshvi, Yotzimin Om Lilka, there were some people who went out on Shabbat to try and find Mom. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was not among them. He was in Shul, saying, you know, doving like a shmak of the Zimra. These people were out there trying to get Mom. Moshe Rabbeinu is criticized. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, "As Amos Bame Antem, this moment Tzvosam Tzvosai. How long are you and Aaron going to continue to constantly disobey me?" Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't disobeying, but if you're part of the Klal, you attract criticism. That was the problem over here with Moshe Rabbeinu. And with this answer, we can answer something else. We said it should have said Lo Savu. You're not going to come to Klal Yisrael. What's Lo Savu? The point is, it was Klal Yisrael who did the Avera over here. Lo Savu was not so much a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu. He did no chet himself. It was more of a punishment for Klal Yisrael. Had Moshe Rabbeinu accompanied Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it would have been a far easier kibush and chalukah exercise. It would have been a far easier conquer and divide exercise. They would have had Moshe Rabbeinu at their helm. The Adon Hanavim, as the Abba Mel calls him. Lo Saviyu was an onus for Klal Yisrael. Lo Savo would have been an onus for Moshe Rabbeinu. That all seems very nice. What's the problem with that? What could possibly be the problem with that? So the above analysis follows. If you look at the Pesukim, you look at the Pesukim over here, Yanei HaMamkin Bi, you look in Pinchas, it says Marisim Bi, you look in Hazino, it says Ma'altim Bi. It's quite clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Moshe and Aaron, you both did something which was wrong. As a result of this, you're going to suffer, you're going to be punished, and you are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So it's very nice to say it was no Vega, but it's quite clear something stuck on it was. So they above and they reject all that. So we've seen two approaches so far, two general approaches. First nine answers is that there's some small sort of get that Moshe Rabbeinu did, Mazal Tov L'Kavod, Kas, hit it twice instead of once, hit instead of speaking to it, that kind of thing. This answer, which we just said, is basically there was no chet which Moshe Rabbeinu did. The Mahalach of the Rav himself was to say something completely different, to go completely to the other extreme. He says, you know what happened? Moshe and Aaron both committed a very, very severe chet. Not over here though. There's a principle that sometimes it's got us for a delayed punishment. The Yom Pakti or for cavity. On the day that I remember Chet, I'm going to revitalize, as it were, earlier Chatam. I'm going to bring an onus for Chatam which we've done earlier. Every time we get an onus these days, there's a tiny Chedek which is an onus for the Chet or Egel. And it's the same principle with Moshe and Aaron. Moshe did a big Avera. Moshe asked permission to send Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlachacha Anoshim V'yotsuru. Send people. Moshe Rabbeinu embellished the whole thing. He gave them a whole list of questions to ask. He said, Achazak Ha'arofe, Haba Machanim Im Mitzorim, Hamaku Im Rav, are they big, are they small, are there lots of them, are there not so many, do they live in 45 cities, do they not live in 45 cities? He didn't have to ask all those questions. It was those questions which Klal Yisrael heard the answer to, and it freaked them out. That's what made them put them off the idea of going to Eretz Yisrael. That was Moshe's big chet, according to the Baruch Hu. What was Aaron's big chet? Aaron participated in the Chet HaEgel. He had a reason why he did it. He built the Mizbeach, he built the Egel, he was trying to delay until Moshe Rabbeinu came back. But the fact of the matter is, he was instrumental in the Chet HaEgel, and in the words of the Abraham Nelly, he puts it very succinctly, what happened as a result of that happened, and Aaron could not get away from that. He brought about terrible calamity, he participated in a terrible calamity for Klal Yisrael. Moshe had his big Chet with the Meraglim, Aaron had his big Chet with the Chet HaEgel. It wasn't time for, because of the covenant of Klal Yisrael, it wouldn't have been right for them to have been punished for the rest of their dough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited over here until a small chet had been committed. What small chet? He holds back as Rashi Leib Rav Anel. He says that the small chet which was committed over here was that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Because of that small chet, the big chatam from earlier, the chet with the Meraglim, the chet with the Egel, that's when Moshe and Aaron were given this very severe punishment of not being allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. He had a kasha, he got the Rambam's kasha. How can he say that Shittas Rashi, the smaller bear over here, was that? He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. That's what the Rambam said. Clearly that can't be the case, because he was specifically told, kacha tamate, take the staff. Says the Rav Anel, no, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu did a nace, he was always told kacha tamate. Kacha tamate was something he needed to do a nace. He was meant to kacha tamate, but to speak to the rock, that's how he rejects the Rambam's kasha. So just to summarize, he says, the chet was like Rashi says that he hit it instead of speaking to it. But the punishment was because of two big chaton earlier. Moshe's chet with the Meraglim and Aaron's chet with the Egel. Fine. So we've had 10 excellent explanations, 10 even better refutations, and then we had the Rav Anel's own answer. You will of course remember, of course, answer number 7. Answer number 7 was the following. Rock A and Rock B. Can we try and rescue answer number 7 at all? Answer number 7 was brought for shame. Anoshim Mechirim, some other men. Can we help those other men out who the Abraham Anil wants to criticize their answer? Can we do anything for them? Well, let's just remind ourselves of that answer. We said as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take water to Abraham Anil Afsela. He was told to speak to Rock A, get the water from there. What did he actually do? He went to Rock B. They were walking around, they got lost, being Haslah, and as Rashi says, they were at Rock B. The people said, can you please get us water from this particular rock? Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, the rules are the rules. The Torah said it's got to be Rock A, it's going to be Rock A. Was he meant to do that? According to this answer, no. He's criticized for doing this. Why? Because sometimes you've got to bend the rules a little bit. He could have made a bigger Kiddush Hashem. He wouldn't have sown doubt in the mind of Klal Yisrael. He wouldn't have made them think that, ooh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do the nace, or ooh, I'm a magician, I can only do it in Rock A. He should have bent the rules on this particular occasion. How did the Abba Bala reject this? The Abba Bala said as follows. That can't be the answer. Stickler for the rules cannot be criticized through the words, Marie Simpi, you've disobeyed me. You've disobeyed me because you've obeyed me? That doesn't make sense. That can't be the chetaveh, because they are being criticized for not obeying the rules. Marie simply rebels. There's an answer in a sefer called the Kehilat Yitzchak, where he accommodates this. He says as follows. There are times when a leader in Kalal Yisrael is meant to break the rules. We see various precedents for this. When you're meant to break the rules, a refusal to break the rules is itself breaking the rules. The rules are that when you're meant to break the rules, you jolly well go ahead and break the rules. Aaron was aware of this with the Chet HaEgel. Aaron knew that it was important that he removes the onus from Kalal Yisrael. He took it all upon himself to build a Mizbeach, to build the Egel himself, and he wanted to deflect criticism in the future from Kalal Yisrael, and it seems to have worked. He saved Kalal Yisrael from a terrible future that might have happened. It says in Sefer Devarim, Gam Aaron is Tanach Hashem Ma'od Hashmido. Moshe Rabbeinu says that Aaron was extremely critical, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was extremely critical of Aaron. Aaron shouldn't have done this. That's because Aaron was Nageya Badova. Aaron saw what was happening for Shah Taketa Egel. Chor, Aaron's son-in-law had already been killed by the angry masses who wanted to build a Chet. Aaron has no right over there to be Moyo Heta. Aaron has no right over there to do a Hurrah Shah, to do an Avira Lishma. You can only make a decision as a Godel to do such a thing when you are in a totally impartial position. Aaron wasn't allowed to do that over there, but the principle remains true. There are times when a Godel has to decide to break the rules. We see other precedents for this in more recent years, immediately in the post-war period. 70 years ago, if you wanted to stay learning when you were 30, in your 30s, what you had to do was get married when you were 40. If you wanted to be learning when you were in your 40s, you had to get married when you were 50. That was the way it worked. The Gedolim came along and changed it. They said something terrible has happened. There's been a calamity which the terrible has suffered. We need to rebuild. We're going to change the way Kalal Yisrael operates. It was the right thing for the Gedolim to do at that time, and it worked. The Gedolim knew what they were doing. They were very inspired, and that was the right choice. There are times when the Gedolim have to change the way Kalal Yisrael operate, and they have to break the old rules sometimes. Moshe Rabbeinu over here was a Gedol. He was totally impartial over here. There was no danger of him being killed like there was with Chor, with the Chet Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu knew full well, or sort of known full well, that he ought to have broken the rules over here. He ought to have broken the rules and made a bigger Kiddush Hashem. He ought to have gone to Rock B instead of Rock A. He didn't. That's a bigger failure. But recently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to break the rules over here. And we can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. He's saying you could have made this much bigger Kiddush Hashem. Instead of throwing doubts and saying we have to stick by the rules and go to Rock A, Moshe Rabbeinu could have gone to Rock B. He could have made a bigger Kiddush Hashem by breaking the rules. Ya'anlo ha'amantem, it's not because you didn't believe in me, it's the causative. Ya'anlo ha'amantem, because you didn't cause Kalal Yisrael to have a great, much greater belief in me. That was the chet over here. Ya'anlo ha'amantem. The criticism of the Abravan of course falls away. This can't be the chet because it says Marisim P. This was Gufa the Merida. This was Gufa the rebellion over here. That Moshe did not bend the rules when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to. You'll remember the question we asked at the very beginning. Don't worry, we're going to finish very soon. The question we asked at the beginning was, how can we call Moshe Rabbeinu an Eved Ne'eman? Surely he did a chet once. Now we can understand, according to this answer, his very chet was that he was an Eved Ne'eman. It's no stira. You want to tell me he did an Avera once, how can he be an Eved Ne'eman? His Avera was that he was an Eved Ne'eman when he was not supposed to be an Eved Ne'eman. It all fits in very nicely. Moshe Rabbeinu was called an Eved Ne'eman even though he was not supposed to be an Eved Ne'eman. That was his chet, and therefore we're entitled to call him Tefillah an Eved Ne'eman. The fact he did a chet isn't a stira b'chlal. Something very interesting emerges. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who are masakein the Mabeya of Tefillah, are reputed to have been very wise people, which of course they were. They knew what they were doing, and they were masakein their words, which were used in their Tefillah. When they said, Yis Mavoshe Matachelke, Ki Eved Ne'eman Kros Alom, they knew, according to this answer, that Eved Ne'eman was not always the correct thing to be. 99.9% of the time it was the correct thing to be, but on this particular occasion it was not the correct thing to be. Because they decided that Ne'emonus, reliability, is such a wonderful virtue that despite the fact it was Moshe Rabbeinu's ultimate downfall being an Eved Ne'eman, according to this answer, they still decided to go ahead and call Moshe Rabbeinu an Eved Ne'eman. They still said, this is how we're going to fix Moshe Rabbeinu, this is how we're going to be conveyed the Lashon Tefillah. Ki Eved Ne'eman Kroslo, this is a big shvach, even though it was a downfall. So great is the extent to which Ne'emonus, reliability, is held in high esteem by the Chachomim. I think this is a message the participants can start to take the Torah away and take away. If we see that Ne'emonus, even when it can lead to someone's ultimate downfall, even when it can be a mistake, is held in such high esteem, the Chachomim, Alachas Kamo V'Kamo, when it's a venture such as this, such as start the day of the Torah away. People come every day, reliable, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 8:25, the Shemesh Aloshim Shir. Something which happens every day, the liability, ne'amonos, halakha is kama v'kama, something over here which is a noble virtue, which is a very worthwhile thing. People are taking the time to be reliable at it, that's got to give a great nachas ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, a big stroke to the organizers, and he wrote to them that this noble endeavor to get Michael Foyle. Thank you very much. Shalom.